How's it going this week, Redneck?
Not too bad. How about yourself, Pastor?
It's going well. And this week our friend the Husky Husker is back with us. How's it going down there, Husky?
What to do?
Oh man, just
How anything new you guys want to talk about?
We could talk about that. I finally announced, but I'm ready. Me and the wife are having a baby.
Congratulations.
Okay, yep, thank you. And then we're 13, 14 weeks long.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's I'm abusing my mic over here. Anyway.
At least we don't have to worry about just your influence of the Huskers. I know at least in your house there's a little bit of Iowa influence there, right?
Don't you bring that in here. Yeah, no, my son, my technical stepson, but my son and my middle daughter are Hawkeyes fans.
Hey, that
pushed
smart
on.
kids, smart kids.
I'm gonna say they're encouraged by their mother just because she knows she gets riled up.
Smart people. Hey, Hawkeyes are where it's at, man.
But yeah. Sorry, I lost audio for a second.
Oh man,
you're good.
It's my headphones.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm happy for you. We'll make sure that we send you lots of Hawkeyes onesies and stuff. Okay.
Yes,
I will burn them and send you a video. No. Like actually, we can talk about it too. I don't know. Might be something. I don't know if we waste time, but
no, you're good.
How do you feel? Because I love my stepdad, and my stepdad doesn't mean to, but he gets upset if I like another team. Like when I bought my Michigan State Spartans hoodie, and he was like, "I disown you." But I'm a person that we can, of course, us three, you know, we're like brothers. We can talk crap on each other's team, but. If my son wants to rep, my son and daughter want to rep Iowa Hawkeyes, they want to go to a game or something, I'm throwing on a Hawkeyes shirt and I'm going to go with them because that's my kids, you know?
Yeah. So I agree with that 100%. Like for me, my son has the influence of his grandpa, who's a huge Packers fan.
Oh, cheesehead.
Yeah. Well, you know, and if his grandpa were ever get his way and he were not to be a Vikings fan and he were to become a Packers fan, I would still love and support my son unconditionally.
He also has the obnoxious Uncle Redneck, who's another Vikings fan. So, you know, he's got a lot of obnoxious Vikings fans in his life, too.
That's true. I was going to say, I think all of our family is Vikings fans. And then he's got his Uncle Husky over there. Who is gonna support him to the Vikings? But no. He's not gonna ever be around you on Saturdays.
Black and yellow, black and yellow.
But no, I mean, yeah, I agree with that. If there's ever like a moment where like he decides, okay, I'm gonna root for the Packers, I guess, like, you know, I love you either way. I might even buy you a jersey or two.
I get that you like the Hawkeyes, my son, but if you,
I will,
because he was trying to pick a. He was trying to pick an NFL team, and I was like, "Why don't you go with the Steelers? They look just like the Hawkeyes."
See, I'll just have to buy. I'll have to buy him if he's a Cheesehead fan. I'll tell him I'm going to buy him the best Packers jersey that ever was. It's the Brett Favre purple and gold jersey.
Yeah. Yep. We can get him the Greg Jennings purple and gold as well.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
I watched it just a couple weeks ago, that throw to the back of the end zone when Favre's, like, I think Favre's first game against San Francisco.
Yes. Yeah. Man, Favre had one fantastic year with the Vikings and one terrible year with the Vikings.
Right.
But no, that's definitely an interesting thing to think about. I think if you're a parent or even like an uncle or aunt or whatever, you're not going to disown your child because, you know, they like a different team. I think it's, I don't know, is your stepdad more like ribbing or is he like serious sometimes?
Sometimes he goes from, like, I don't know, it's just kind of, we always say it's because he's German, but he gets like, he'll joke, but then he'll get like, he'll rile himself up and then he'll be like, oh, I don't get why you can't wear a Husker hoodie. I'm like, So like, and this is weird. I know this makes me sound like a lunatic, but I'm also like a tactical person. Like I like to blend when I want to and not blend when I don't want to. Like,
yep.
And everybody is wearing a Husker hoodie. Now, if I'm in a big crowd, yes, I'm okay with wearing that. But when I'm like, if I tell you, hey, meet me here, and I'm in a Husker hoodie,
yeah,
you're gonna be like, which one? But if I say like I'm in a camo Michigan State Spartans hoodie, not a lot of people are gonna have that.
That's true, especially especially in Nebraska or even in Iowa.
Well, and I mean, you can't go anywhere near a crowd of that sea of red. And if you yell something, they're going to yell "Go Big Red" back at you no matter what.
That's true. I mean, you could yell "Huskers suck" and they'd be like, "Go Big Red."
I'm just going to refuse to answer that.
Because you know it's true.
I plead the fifth.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, last week, I know you weren't here, Husky Husker, but I did want to fix one mistake that we talked about. We had talked briefly on this idea that should people, instead of getting two vaccine or the two shots of the COVID-19 vaccine, should they get one shot, and how effective would it be? And the article I was reading at that point in time said it was something, there's a possibility it could be something like 70-80% effective, I believe. The newest research that they have out right now says with one shot after 12 days, it's 52% effective, which again, from what we looked up last week, was more effective than your average flu shot. But it's still just one of those things that we wanted to correct and make sure that we're putting the correct information out there and not misleading anybody anyway. Did I miss anything else?
Not that I can think of. I think that's everything as far as what we had for correction wise, that's for sure.
Yeah. And if we missed anything from last week, or we messed anything up this week, shoot us an email at redneckpastorpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what we missed, let us know what you think, and let us know what your opinions are. So I'm gonna hop right into this one, because this could take us a hot minute here to cover this. And this whole article can be seen on BBC, their news website. Excuse me there. But there's a whole article that's talking about what Joe Biden's going to do his first days in office, how it's going to be leading up to it, and what problems could arise with the inauguration coming up on Wednesday. I think that's something that we have to take a look at and kind of go step by step through this. So the first portion of that is what problems will arise on Wednesday's inauguration. And what they're saying is that the government, both Washington, D.C., and the states surrounding it are literally preparing for armed riots at this point in time. So they're preparing for this inauguration to essentially be another Capitol Hill moment, but almost worse, because they're expecting them to come with guns. And I don't know, you seem like you have a very strong opinion about that, so I'm gonna stop and let the red take over.
Well, so my whole thing is they're looking at all 50 states, and they're looking at all Capitol buildings at all 50 states. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my issue is there truly enough people out of this? So yeah, there was a huge group at the Capitol, but there was not as many out of that group that actually sieged inside of the Capitol, because there was a lot of that same group that ran away when everything started happening. So the thing is my biggest thing is if they're really this worried about it, I don't believe that there's going to be that many people in each state to even be able to attempt what happened in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, I do think they're worried in each state. And this article does talk about in each state of preparing, they're talking about bringing the National Guard into the Capitol sites. They're talking about making sure the police are heavily enforcing the area around the Capitol sites. I think here, what you have to look at is the inauguration. Is that going to be like the main target? Is that going to be where people are the most upset? And I know a lot of this is said that there's going to be a select hand-picked few people of, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, guys, I speak for a living. there's going to be a select few people who are actually at the inauguration, right? It's not going to be this huge event that has happened in the past. It's going to be a very small controlled group to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. The question that right. arises is that if you do have people who are marching down or marching against and rioting against that, how do you solve that issue? And then does it become an issue, or are these going to be peaceful protests? Are you going to have these armed riots? Are you going to have what happened on Capitol Hill? Those are the questions I think they have to look at right now.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things that I understand they're worried about it with everything that happened as far as you know, on January 6th, what a lot of people are calling the 1/6 insurrection or whatever all of these mainstream news medias are wanting to call it. But my thing is, okay, so if you look at what happened, yes, there was loss of life. Yes, there was two people who lost their life in the whole Capitol Hill thing, but it was nowhere near as violent as things that have happened within our history of our country. And like, I get that it was not something that we want people to do, is to be able to penetrate our Capitol building and do that kind of stuff and put our lawmakers in fear and stuff like that. I get that. I understand that people don't want that kind of thing to happen, but I also see the fact that it's just not as huge of a group of people as they're thinking. And I think they're worried about a very select few of very radical individuals who are not necessarily as big of a group as they think they are. Yes, there was a huge group that voted for Trump, but not all people who voted for Trump because they are this radical right wing conspiracy, you know, nutball from the right hand side. The thing is, you know, it's one of those things that not everybody who voted that way because they believe that. So I don't think that it's as big of a group that's going to cause an issue.
Yeah, I mean, that very well could be. I just think here, like, it'd be, I also think on the other side of things, it'd be stupid for them not to be prepared for an issue.
No, I agree. I agree with that too. The thing is it, like Husky Husker was saying, they're being tactical. That's one thing. They want to make sure that you have everything spread out, like, you, so you can be prepared for the worst to happen. But it's funny because I just don't see it happening. I just don't.
I think it's going to be, I think there's going to be problems with the inauguration itself.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's going to be wide nationwide. I could be wrong. I could be extremely wrong. But of course, I'm glad I live in a small podunk town because I'm away from the Capitol. But anyway, right. My thing, and I kind of thought this year, I even said to myself in probably August of last year, and I said this to my wife, I was like, I believe if Trump doesn't win this, we're going to see our first assassination attempt during an inauguration. And I don't know if there's ever been one during an inauguration before, but
yeah,
I just feel like it could get that severe. Now, I'm pretty sure with 20,000 National Guard soldiers that they are going to sweep that thing from top to bottom, you know, and for left sure. to right. But
yeah.
And my thing is, you can't say one side is severe and not say the other side is severe.
For sure.
Any side that there's been in the history of man, you have both sides have extremists.
Yep.
You know, and that's why I always hate when people, is what I hate when people say, oh, well, it's the Muslims that did 9/11. No, you can say they're Muslims, but you have to say they're Muslim extremists.
Extremists, yeah.
If you have, because there's Christian extremists, there's probably,
for sure,
weirdly, probably Hindu extremists or Buddhist extremists, which sometimes I think Buddhist extremists would come at you like aggressively peaceful. But I mean, like, give you an aggressive hug or something. I love Buddhists because I'm all about peace and love and, you know, but I also know there's a real world. That's what I always kind of say is I believe in peace and love and handling things with love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I also know how the real world operates, you know, and a lot of the time peace and love is not going to work. And I've had to get aggressive, but.
See, and that's why, you know, politically, I definitely lean the way that I do being libertarian is because just one of the basic, even just not, you know, the party wise, just as a libertarian belief, they believing in the what they call the non-aggression principle, which I know most people will tune out when we start talking about that. But it's just, you know, it break it down to the fact that if you don't aggress upon me, I won't aggress upon you, we can go about our lives and live our lives happy and free, you know.
Yeah, well, I definitely think that's something to consider, but in all honesty, when I come down to this, I go when I think about this, I think it really comes down to two things. The first being that they have to prepare for this inauguration to be a mess, right? I think as we've seen in the past 4 years, especially in this past year, anything that Trump touches is a mess, period. Again, now I've been on this podcast and I've even said like Trump has done some good things for this country. And I still believe to a certain extent, he's done some things that have been very good. However, with that being said, I think we have to prepare for it to be a mess. I just do. And the other thing is, yeah, it may come down to nothing, right? But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be prepared. You put insurance on your car.
Yeah.
Likelihood is you're not going to get in an accident, but you still need to be prepared for that. With all that being said, I think I think we'll have to wait and see, and hopefully next week we can come when we come together, we can go, that inauguration was a smooth sailing, you know.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, so this article continues on and it talks about the things that Biden is planning on doing the minute that pretty much he steps foot into the Oval Office, and these are things that he's going to be doing. The first thing is that he's going to be rejoining he will return the U.S. to the Paris Climate Agreement, a global pact on cutting carbon emissions. Second thing he will be doing is he will repeal the controversial travel ban on a list of mostly Muslim majority countries. And the third thing he will do is make mask wearing mandatory on federal property and when traveling interstate. Those are the first three things that they plan on that he plans on doing. Like he gets into the office, inauguration's done, he's picking out his bedroom in the White House or whatever, you know. And these are what he's going to do. This is what he's going to sign.
Looks like Sleepy Joe's going to be napping in the White House.
That's right.
Tagline for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah. I mean, the thing is with the Paris Climate Agreement, it's one of those things, I don't know. My problem is yes, we have bad climate issues that we cause here in the US, but there are people who make our pollution here in the US, other countries that make our pollution here like look minimal. For instance, China is one of the worst. About polluting. And the thing is I understand that they want to be a part of this so that they can have a global impact. But until we can get countries like China, for instance, to be able to, you know, be in on these deals or actually be able to, you know, stop polluting as much, I don't think it's going to do us much good.
Yeah. So I do just want to challenge you a little bit on that. And because, you know, that's what I do. my challenge to you is that, like, just because we can't get China to do this, why does that mean we shouldn't? Right. I can't get you to wear sleeves. Doesn't mean I'm not going to wear sleeves.
I mean, yeah, who needs sleeves anyways? But no, okay, so so I get that, but and I agree to a point. Like, I agree that we need to do something ourselves and control our emissions and stuff like that. But these big global leviathan of agreements that, oh, if this country pollutes exactly this much, we're going to slap them on the hands and yell at them for this. And if this country does this, they don't work clearly because you can't get everybody to do it. Because if right. China's putting out triple the amount of smog and whatever I am here, my little bit of downsizing and not, you know, rolling coal every time I got my diesel truck out, you know, that's, it's one of those things. My little bit of not doing that is not gonna offset what China's doing triple the amount that I'm doing anyways.
I understand where you're coming from. However, I don't think that's the right way to look at that. I don't think you should look at that as in like, oh, well, what we're going to do doesn't matter, because eventually it will, right? Because hypothetically, the US joins, or I should say rejoins, then you have the little countries that come with the US or that will follow the US because they want to be on the US's good side will join. Then you have all these allies coming together, and eventually you can build up enough people, build up enough pressure to maybe go to China and say, hey, we want you to take this seriously. Now, I understand that China, we won't get into Chinese politics because I know nothing about Chinese politics, okay? But what I will say is that eventually you can build up enough people to put enough pressure on somebody that they will listen or they will do it, right? Because if you had the entire world against China, China's either going to jump on board or be excluded from the rest of the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, exclusion only works so much when you're talking countries like China, because how much... for instance, how much of our electronic goods comes from China? So the thing is no matter what you do, if you were to boycott China, there's no way you could boycott China, because everything that we have that's manufactured over there and how cheap they do it, I'm not saying their labor's great, because we won't get into their whole labor issues and stuff and all of that. But the thing is there, countries like that, there is no boycotting them. They make and are so ingrained in our world that there would be no way that you would ever be able to do anything like that.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. What, you got any thoughts, Husky Husker?
I kind of believed like he was saying, where they're so ingrained in what we do. But my thing is kind of like, it's weird because I wish the US wouldn't like have to help run other countries. We should just run our own. We do have a United Nations and we do have all that stuff, but would I like to see us like to see the world do better for like the environment? Yes. There's no debating that something is happening in the environment that is man-made.
Right.
Like I said, when the coronavirus came out and they did the like 3-week shutdown, there was places that in third world countries that have had smog sitting in their backyard. And then you could actually see this mountain for the first time in like 20 years from the town, because the smog had all cleared up, you know?
Well, yeah, they're even talking like there are dolphins in Italy. I can't think of the place, but there are dolphins coming back in towards Italy. There are things going on that are like after the shutdown, we've started to restore some of our environment. And that's really cool to see. And not so the restore, like it's going to be go back to like it was before, but our environment started to kind of like, hey, I get a break. I can actually come back in and, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, humans are some of the most filthy creatures in general. I mean, we create some of the most smog and some of the most, like, you know, when you look at cutting down the swaths of the rainforest and the forestry industry and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we do have, I'm not saying we don't have an impact on our environment and that we don't need to be conscious about the impact we have in our environment. I'm not saying you need to go out, you know, dump a whole gallon of gasoline and light it on fire, and I mean, unless you're having a bonfire and yelling yee yee with it, but you know.
So just to put in a little story there. I remember Husky and Husker and I used to work at this camp together. And I remember one time the camp director handing us a gallon of gas saying there's wet wood back there. This should take care of it though. This will start your fire. So, we went back there.
No.
You just see the black smoke rolling up and people are like, fire. I'm like, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Give me some gas.
But yeah, anyway. You know, I'm not saying that we don't need to do that, but it's one of those things that if we're conscious about it, yes, it's going to make an impact and help our environment directly around us. However, mm-hmm. what we're doing here, yes, is going to help our environment here, but it's also, I mean, if somebody else is polluting triple the amount I am, and I only reduce half the amount that I'm polluting, it really, it's a negative offset.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. My thing is that just because we can't get one person to do it doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, right? Just because my neighbor is going to drive around and, you know, in an F-350 doesn't mean I shouldn't try and do my best and maybe drive, you know, the Ranger or whatever, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, anyway, let's move on to the next thing in that article. And the next thing in this article, is that Biden's going to lift the travel ban that was put on mostly Muslim countries, which, I mean, I don't think there's really a lot to talk about there. In all honesty, I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I can agree with that. The thing is I don't agree with travel bans whatsoever. I believe that we should be able to move freely, you know, as much as we want to, because that's just kind of as a human being, that's just a right, unless you've, you know, committed some heinous crime and deserve to be imprisoned. I don't think you should ever be banned or not free to travel.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And I think most people would say that that's, you know, in all honesty, it's probably a good thing that he's going to lift this, as well as, let's be honest, if you're just banning one set of people who are mostly Muslim, it doesn't look good.
No, it looks very xenophobic and racist. Yeah.
Well, the last point in this article is that Joe Biden will make mask wearing mandatory on federal property and when traveling interstate, which on federal property, like, okay, I get, like, if it wasn't that before, they probably should have done it in the first place. The only thing I don't understand is that when traveling interstate, like, that's, so is he saying, like, because where I live close enough to Indiana to where I could go across the board with an hour and a half. So if I go there and I have an Illinois ID, I have to wear a mask while I'm in Indiana.
Yep. So what he's trying to say is that if you leave your state of residence, you have to wear a mask. That's right. And the thing is like, yeah, see, that's where it becomes fishy, because, for instance, you know, just down the road here, on the border of Iowa and Illinois, you have the Quad Cities. There's four different cities, two on the Illinois side, two on the Iowa side. And the thing is right there, people cross over just for work. So
right.
I go over the river from Iowa to Illinois, or Illinois to Iowa, or look at Omaha, for instance. You have Council Bluffs in Omaha, right there. You know, look at Kansas
City. Right, and there's so many. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's so many places that are right on the border there between states, like on these river kind of places. So you look at that, and it's just, that one's just a little weird to me. I don't quite get it. I mean, I get wearing a mask when it's required, and I get wearing a mask. Like, if, for instance, if you're going into a hotel and you're going to be talking to somebody at the front desk, put your mask on, wear your mask until you get to your room, then take it off. You'll be okay. But if I'm traveling in my car and I get pulled over because I wasn't wearing a mask and my plates are Illinois and I'm in Indiana, like, who am I hurting in my own car with nobody else in there? Because I'm not wearing a mask.
Well, and these mask mandates are so funny, because they're not a law by any means. So really, they're not even enforceable. If you really look down to it, And the thing is, yeah, they can take you to jail or do whatever. But if you really fought these mask mandates with some of these, there would be no legal precedent at all for any of this. So it's just funny to me that they're even saying these things, and that they're not passing any legislation, so they're not even a law.
Yeah, my whole thing is just as simply as this. Wear your mask. Don't be stupid. If you're in public, put your mask on. Don't just we've said this before. Just take care of yourself. Take care of your neighbors, love your neighbors, and put your stupid mask on.
Well, and the thing is, you know, for me, if you're a person who doesn't agree with the mask, I get it, because I don't necessarily agree that they're even, you know, that effective because of the material most people have their masks made out of. And, you know, the way people wear their masks, they're not even really that effective. However, as somebody who believes that, you know, for my own sanity, it's a placebo effect. So if I put my mask up, it's going to make the person on the other side of me happy, and it's going to make them feel safe, even though it's not doing jack. It's going to make them feel safe. And if it makes them feel safe, whatever. It makes less headache for me.
So I disagree with the idea that they're not effective. Because if they weren't effective, then you wouldn't have surgeons having to wear like surgical masks while they're doing surgery, right? Let me finish my thought. Okay. Before you start arguing with me, let me finish my thought. All right. So you wouldn't have, I understand they're not the same material. A lot of those are cloth masks. A lot of people wear the masks that are intended for like making sure you're like, for like when you're running on cold days so you can keep your breath warm, those kind of things, right? I understand that they're not nearly as effective as surgical masks. However, even just something to stop me from getting passionate with my speech and spending little droplets onto you will slow the spread.
Okay, right. However, it'll prevent the droplets from going as far. However, do you realize how tiny the molecule of COVID is? Correct. Do you really think that mask has enough fibrous being and fibrous poration in it to actually do anything? Like, for instance, I've seen so many people wear these cloth masks, and with the cloth masks, if you take a cloth towel and take a spray bottle and spray it directly through it, you can see that mist go directly through that cloth. You're telling me having that against your face, it's not going to go out the cloth, and you're still not going to spread. And somehow magically this piece of cloth is going to not allow this tiny microscopic particle to fly through it.
So I saw this meme on Facebook that I think describes what I'm trying to say perfectly, right? So it showed this guy and said, if you're not wearing pants and you pee on your neighbor. If you're both not wearing pants, you pee on each other. And if you're both wearing pants, you just pee on yourselves, right? So I think of it more along the lines of that, right? If we're both wearing masks, we're stopping it. Now, either way, even with that like meme style thing, you're still going to pee your pants, right? You're still going to have wet drawers either way.
True.
But
Let me finish. Okay. But on the
thank you for joining the Redneck Ambassador podcast.
Anyway, so that's why it's called arguments, man. Come on now. Anyway, so the thing is, I'm going to be a lot less grossed out, and you're going to be a lot less grossed out if we're not peeing on each other.
Right. Well, and I agree to, but the thing is like I said, for me, I don't even think that they work as effectively, because honestly, okay, you walk in, I refuse to shop here, but walk into Walmart, right, and tell me how many of those people are truly wearing that mask properly. You guys would, but that's because you're not the people who typically shop at Walmart. You are not the people of Walmart. The people of Walmart,
when I I worked at a Walmart just recently that is in a very Republican and very kiss my butt if you don't like what I have to say kind of town. I, as an employee, had to wear that mask. No one in that store was wearing a mask. Mm-mm. And then, well, it's funny was you would, if you didn't wear that mask, a manager would come down on you because they can't. We were told I had an injury in my arm and I had to be on the front doors for a while. Right. And we were told we have to tell them you, according to Iowa mandate, you have to wear a mask in this building. If they were to fight us about it or verbally get into an argument, we were to drop it and let them go.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's the way a lot of stores are doing it.
Yeah. And then, so it's like, is everybody doing their part to do that? No, no one is. It's
right.
Apparently, like, I could catch a lot of flack for what I'm about to say, but we act, especially the demographic of, I would say, 25 to 45. I mean, I know that's a big gap, right? But
yeah.
Act like freaking children when told to do something. But like, I get like me, yeah. I get some of the rednecks stuff. Like, you know, it's hard for a mask to seal on my face sometimes because I have a beard.
Right.
You know, I think, and I wear a neck gaiter as my mask, you know?
Yeah.
But I keep, you know, being a big guy, my breathing is very low. So I'm not like through my mask, right. But like, if we can't, there's no way we can enforce a mask mandate at all.
No. Well, absolutely not.
Because no one wants confrontation, but like, it's like at my place of employment at the time, I was a stockman, so I would move cases of sauce, cases of macaroni and stuff. And when that pulls on my shirt, it also pulls on my mask. Then I'm the one yelled at. I'm like, if you're going to yell at me,
right,
yell at everybody else, you know? Like,
yeah, well, for sure. And I'm not saying that masks are 100% effective. I'm not, because they're not, right? Nothing is 100% effective except for a vaccine, period. Done. And even then, the vaccine's not 100% effective.
Right.
Okay. But all that to say, it's better to wear a mask, even if it is just a placebo effect for others in your mind, even if it is just that. And I'm not saying it is, because I clearly disagree with that. But on the off chance that it makes someone else feel better, it's just better to put the stupid thing on.
Right. Well, and that's the whole thing is, like, for me, okay, for instance, I believe that as somebody who owns a business or whatever, you know, the business owner has every right to ask you to put that on when you come into their private business, because they are the ones who own that business and they are the ones who operate and, you know, take their time and have every liability for that property. So therefore, I think that they should be able to mandate and say, look, I would rather you wear a mask. Okay. For instance, if you look at a gun store, I don't want you wearing a mask when you're walking into a gun store.
Yeah.
Well, it's like mine too is like, if I ran a business on private property, I could tell you that to give them in my store, you have to be wearing a rainbow colored propeller hat.
Right.
Okay. That's my mandate for you to shop here. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's again, if you're on private property, you're doing your own thing. That's right. your call. And I do think to a certain degree, and this has gone down a rabbit hole that I didn't expect, but I do think to a certain degree that when you have the federal government stepping in and mandating things is when you have people who are like the redneck saying, I ain't doing that. You know? I know I'm calling you out just to pick on you a little bit.
No. And that's the thing is I do see there are a lot of, you know, anti wanting to fight back against the federal government. And that's why I believe that it should be more local government, because if you're doing it more local or at a business level, then you're able to control people. You know the people who run your business or are your city council members. You go to the same restaurants. You do that kind of thing. I don't know Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't know redneck. I mean, she couldn't come here and, you know, I mean, it's, she wouldn't want to come to redneck's house, but
no, she would not want to come to redneck's house. She would be very conflicted in a lot of ways, but, well, anyway, we can argue for this for, I'm sure, right, the entire rest of this podcast, but I'm going to go ahead and let you talk about it. Talk about your stories here, because clearly you're hungry this week.
Yeah. So the first one, so I love Hot Pockets. Hot Pockets have always been one of my favorite things. I know that's my inner fat kid coming out. What am I talking about? That's my true fat self coming out.
The pepperoni pizza Hot Pockets saved me. Okay, we went to this camp and they sold Hot Pockets in their snack area. Let me tell you, they saved me every time, because you'd go to before dinner, you'd get the Hot Pocket and you didn't care what they were serving for dinner. Anyway, Hot Pockets, amazing. Pepperoni pizza with the garlic crust. Oh my gosh, to die for.
Well, sorry to tell you, but they had to recall 762,615 pounds of pepperoni Hot Pocket pizzas that were packed in the 54-ounce cartons that contained 12 in each, with an expiration date of February 22nd. And it's the exact ones you were talking about, the ones with the pepperoni with the garlic buttery crust. Because they had some manufacturing issues where glass and hard plastic ended up in the Hot Pockets. And yeah, luckily,
Hot Pockets was quoted as saying, whoops.
We're sorry.
You're right. You know, I just I saw that and I was like, oh no, not Hot Pockets. And my wife was like, well, good thing we haven't bought any Hot Pockets recently, because, you know, if we buy Hot Pockets, we buy them in that exact like box.
Yeah,
like that's how we buy our Hot Pockets.
Yeah, you go to Sam's Club or Costco and buy the big old thing. Yeah.
No, and so they
that's the only way to buy them.
Right.
Because really, who's going to have one Hot Pocket for dinner? Come on now.
Oh, no, you got to have at least two. Two is the minimum. Hell,
yeah, that's
the minimum. Hot Pockets wasn't my thing. It was more the microwave burritos. I love those.
Oh, yeah, those are good too.
The microwave breakfast burritos were always bomb.
So I remember growing up, and Redneck, you can attest to this. Husky Husker, you may not have known us at this point, but we would take the microwavable burritos, put them into a pan, put them in the oven for like however, right until they were almost done.
Yep.
Then smother them in barbecue sauce, let them bake the rest of the way, pull them out, and have barbecue burritos.
Man. Yes, they were. And then put a little bit of cheddar cheese on top. Ooh, yes. Yeah.
Oh. If you haven't tried that, you need to.
Yes.
That's like my sister-in-law, who we've been staying with, is I didn't know how much actual mozzarella cheese saves those Totino's.
Right.
Dollar pizzas.
Yes, yeah, sir.
And those, like, they come in like a box now, like a box, box form.
Yeah.
Or square form, whatever.
Yep.
But she made us some for lunch a couple of days ago, and she put the actual like mozzarella on it. And I was like, this makes pizza taste like this much better.
Yep, it's that extra dash of extra oomph that it needs.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, I'll let you get back to it, Redneck.
So, So with this, the thing that Nestle did say, they recalled the Hot Pockets. And they said that the quality, safety, and integrity of Nestle USA and Hot Pockets remains our number one priority. Nestle said, we sincerely apologize for any inconvenience this action represents to both our consumers and retail customers. Nestle did not immediately respond to additional inquiries. From the New York Times was where this article was from. And then it says that the Food and Safety and Inspection Service said that the Hot Pocket recall was considered a class one, a high health risk, where it is reasonable probability that the use of the product will cause serious health consequences or death.
Yeah, we'll give you the craps for a week.
Right, it's bad enough that you're you know, eating a Hot Pocket and probably gonna be spending the night on the toilet, but
as they put explosive rectal explosion.
No, in all seriousness though, like I hope they caught this in time before anybody got hurt, because
in the article it did say that one person had suffered some oral injuries, but that's the only case that they know of so far, that as far as injuries wise. So yeah, no, I said oral.
But
oh man,
there's been a lot of recall of food in the last year.
Yeah, it's crazy when you look at all of the recalls. I don't know, but
it's COVID. I know, you're somebody, right. It's COVID. It's COVID.
You know, it's funny when COVID first came out. I don't know why. This might be because of my Jewish background and heritage, but I was calling it COVID.
COVID. I know somebody who, instead of calling it COVID, calls it Corella. The Corella disease.
That's what I liked. I was going to put on the announcement of my child is we're going to have our coronial.
Right.
And when this kid's like, they keep calling me a millennial, I'm like, no, you're not a millennial, son. You're a coronial.
Right. Well,
we started our new generation.
Oh gosh.
So I know the three of us are big gamers, and I've got some gaming and food news combined in one. KFC Gaming is coming out with a console. And I showed this to Pastor earlier, and all he could do was say, no, no, you're lying to me. No.
So hold up. So when I did look this up, right, their big thing, like the first thing they do when you go to the website is show you that they have a spot to put chicken in the console.
Yeah, it's a chicken warmer.
Yeah. Yes. Like, what the heck? Yes, it is. Like, they're not even concerned about the games. They're concerned about keeping your chicken hot.
Now, but it's actually a pretty powerful gaming unit.
My problem with that, though, is you don't want to be eating fried chicken while you're gaming, because that's going to get grease in your controller.
I mean, maybe they have a grease-proof controller.
If they have that, I'm buying it for the Xbox. Because, like, I'll eat dinner, and, like, I won't notice that I get it off, like, the fork. I'm like, why is my controller shiny?
Yep. It's that grease. Well, yeah, but get this. It's going to be 4K, okay. 240 frames per second. It's going to have, it's built and designed by Cooler Master is the company that's building the specified case for it. And it's going to have an internal, chicken warmer. It's going to
overheat the unit.
It's got a Cooler Master NC 100 chassis, which has special cooling and stuff designed with an Intel i9 ninth gen. It's going to have a upgraded Asus GPU. It's going to come with a terabyte of Fire CUDA Seagate hard drive. It's going to be VR ready. It's going to have ray tracing out of the box and be able to 4K.
So I have two thoughts here. One, KFC has me conflicted, right? Because on one level, I would never like willingly buy something like a console whose main claim to fame was it has a chicken warmer. And then you say all those things and I go, but is it going to be good? Like, is it going to be a good console? Right?
Right.
Do I need to buy this and use it as my, like, throw some, like, you know, Popeye's chicken strips down in there?
Oh, you just did KFC a dirty. Ooh, man, the Colonel's right, gonna come rather... in and take his console back.
Would you rather be Chick-fil-A? I mean, you know.
Ooh, the Lord's chicken.
See, I'm not, my only problem is I'm not a big fried chicken person. I'm more of a baked.
Yeah. I like a chicken strip. I don't like the fried chicken on the bone. It's got to be like a chicken tender or a chicken strip.
Anything chicken, man. That's what I'm about.
Here's a weird food story for you. Okay. I'm going to ask you to, because I'm going to direct this friend back to the podcast. Okay. Have you ever enjoyably ate a raw potato?
Enjoy. Yes, actually, I have. We used to all the time when we would be down at our grandmother's house, we would be peeling potatoes and they would feed them to the dogs. So one time I ate a raw potato and it tastes fine.
My friend doesn't, she thinks it's wrong because I told her I will eat a raw potato. Like, I'd get hungry when I was staying like with my mom and stuff, and I would wash off a raw potato and eat it like an apple.
Wait, it's a potato. With the peel and everything?
Yeah.
The peel has the most vitamins nutrients. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna lie, eat it. Like
Bastard's looking at me weird. I don't like this.
So I'm not gonna lie, I've been like peeling some potatoes, like, and then been like, hey, I'm kind of hungry, I can eat this raw potato, like, without the after it's peeled. With the peel on though, man, I don't know about that. Like, that just seems like it tastes like dirt.
I mean, that's how I like to make my mashed potatoes. I just cut them up and wash them and toss them peel and all. And
yeah, you wash them and then you cook them or you boil them or you do something before you mash them.
But I'll eat them just like that right out of the pan too before I cook them. And
I will say when I make mashed potatoes, I do take the peels off, but I mean, I don't really have a preference. I'll eat them, you know, either way. I love mashed potatoes, but then she got disgusted when my other friend was like, yeah, I've ate them in that way, and he eats them where he puts salt and pepper on them. And then just like raw potato chips. I was like, I want that right now.
Yeah. So I'm not necessarily against it. I've never had the peel. I've had them after they're peeled raw. That's okay by me, but
As you may know, I like chewing ice. I love just like a, like something you could crunch, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well,
back to what we were saying.
We're talking about the KFC council.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't have much more on it. I was baffled because, like I said, we were just on a road. We were on a road trip when my wife was scrolling through Facebook and saw this, and I had the same reaction that you had, Pastor, there when she's telling me about this. This KFC is coming out with a gaming council. I was like, you are lying to me. You are pulling my leg. Like, there is no way.
Yeah, well, so I think KFC hops in the console game here. The McDonald's gets in the smartphone game. Then Wendy's hops in on the MP3 players, you know, because Wendy's always seems to be like a day late, dollar short to everything.
I mean, although when they do something, they do it well, because that breakfast baconator, my man. Ooh,
I'll give you that. Yeah. I'll give you that. And then you're going to have Taco Bell making like the discount version of, you know, the iPod or something. What are they going to call it? We don't have potatoes anymore. You know,
they have potatoes now.
Well, yeah, because the fries. Nacho fries are back.
But
they said they're bringing back all their potato items.
Are they? Dude, there's been so much rage around that. Like,
well, I mean, Taco Bell jacked their menu up. Like, come on.
So badly.
I didn't even know they got rid of the Frito burrito. That's one of my favorites.
That is one of my favorites too.
Dude, my favorite is steak quesarito. Yes, sir.
Yes, you can tell we are brothers.
Yeah.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
That's dude, I agree with that too. That one's good too. I haven't gotten rid of it, but the quesarito, man, that's where it's at.
Yeah, I also like to make my own homemade Taco Bell style breakfast crunch wraps. Those are baller.
Oh, I could go. Dude, those are awesome. The breakfast crunch wraps. Best menu on the Taco Bell breakfast, the breakfast menu. But, well, do either of you have any more conversation about the KFC council?
Nah, I think that's it. All I had on that. Unless Husky Husker had something he wanted to say on there.
No, I was looking to see when they're adding potatoes back, but I can't find it.
Oh, man.
Because I like the spicy potato soft taco.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was good, too. Well, after all that food news, we're going to go on to the Oh Florida Man moment. Husky Oscar, you want to give us a little intro to that?
Welcome to the Florida Man moment, where we discover what's going on in Florida, which is shenanigans every day.
That is exactly what we're going for. So here's my Florida Man moment, and it's a good one. So on, it would have been last week sometime, a 48-year-old man drove his Ferrari 360 off the end of a dock in Palm Beach. So what sounds like it happened is this man was approached by a police officer who pretty much told this guy he couldn't be parking there. So in my imagination, the police officer walks up, kind of gives him a little knock on the window, says, sir, you can't be parking here. And apparently everything was very cordial. The guy said, I'm just waiting for my friend. The police officer pretty much said, like, okay, we can't be doing this. So he went, okay, I'll back out. So he backed out and then drove his Ferrari off the end of the pier. And when he was asked why, I'm going to read this exactly from what this says. And it says, Jesus told me to drive through a small gate and into a 6-foot window. This gentleman told a police officer, as reported by WPTV, Jesus made me the smartest man on earth. And it's so hard to have this much responsibility. Money is going to be irrelevant in 2 days. Remember to smile.
I mean, yeah, of course money's going to be irrelevant in 2 days when you're in jail, dude. Like, I mean, you clearly purposely did this. Like,
I just picture the police officer like knocking on the window. Everything's cordial. This dude backs up and just guns it down a pier. Like, and you're just like sitting there just standing like,
right. All you hear is as he goes off the end of the pier.
Like, police officer, like, how this is gonna be a report. Like,
my day just got a whole lot worse.
He's watching this going, oh, I'm gonna be at the desk for years doing this paper. Yeah. I think what makes me like the most sad is this guy literally said, Jesus made me. Yeah, well, it's a Ferrari, but this guy literally said, Jesus made me do it.
Right.
And then in the same breath said, Jesus made me the smartest man on earth.
No.
If you're driving your Ferrari off the end of a dock, I'm sorry. You are not the smartest man on earth.
Who gave this man a Ferrari?
Who gave this man a license?
Right.
Who's not getting that Ferrari back?
Oh. Ferrari's like, no, you can't buy another one. I'm sorry.
Honey, do you remember when you let Joe borrow the Ferrari? Yeah. Have you seen it?
Like, oh, yeah. It's at the bottom of the ocean now.
He says that and then like turns his head right back to the news and it's just his Ferrari. I'd be so mad.
I know.
Jesus made me do it. Oh my gosh.
Did you talk to him about the Ferrari? Hey, look, he's on TV. Like,
wait, why is he being arrested? Is that my car? Yeah.
Oh man.
Jerome's like, so you let your friend borrow the car and now it's off the end of a pier.
Whoops.
I swear he was sane when he was here.
Man.
Yeah. Well, I figured y'all get a kick out of that.
Are y'all ready for some conspiracy?
Oh, I am always ready for the redneck conspiracy corner.
Oh man, we have so I have a question to pose to you guys. Do we have personal FBI and NSA agents?
Yes. His name is Brian.
Expand on that for me a little bit.
So I know pre-show, you know, Pastor and I were talking a little bit, and there's memes out there that talk about,
right,
you know, that we post things for our FBI and NSA agents. And do we have an NSA or an FBI agent who is signed directly to me? I mean, my dude's name is Frank. I'm telling you, he's got to be named Frank.
He's some old 50-year-old guy named Frank.
Yep, yep. Nah, he's probably closer to his 60s or 70s because they need somebody who's not quite there in his head to deal with redneck stuff.
They're like, oh, this man drives a Jimmy. Let's see what he's doing today.
So I want to make sure I got this right. So you're asking me if the U.S. government has an agent that's specifically assigned to me to look at everything I'm doing.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm asking.
No. And if they do, my agent is so bored that he's about to, like, poor guys, like, the insane asylum would be more interesting than this.
So they, my theory is people like Pastor, they take you and they lump you in and they assign all of the pastors to one NSA agent. Because then they know that he doesn't have a whole lot of excitement other than the one, you know, little, you know, Catholic incident or the Lutheran incident or the whatever incident that might happen. He only has one. But then they have the crazy rednecks, you know, like me, who they're like, man, he might yee-yee and blow himself up. So we got to have somebody watching him 24/7.
Right. So essentially for the guys like me, they're watching like a whole bunch of us. For the guys like Redneck, one agent might have two of you guys and that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
No, this is insane. No. Why in the world would anyone want to do this? No.
I mean, you know, sometimes I'll post things on Facebook and set it to just me because that's between me and my FBI agent. It's, you know, and he gets a good chuckle out of it at least.
He's like, oh, he posted that just to himself. Son of a... I'm not supposed to see that. I'm supposed to be covert.
Dang it, Frank, you shared his post again.
Oh, I think sometimes I crack Frank up.
No, this doesn't exist. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, then I'll let you save humanity from my craziness.
Yeah, we should go on to the saving humanity moment. So this one was really cool. If you haven't caught on, I really, really like animals, specifically dogs. But there was an article that was put out on today.com that for the first time in 30 years, a pit bull was legally adopted in the city of Denver. So this ban was officially lifted as of January, I think it said 12th, I could be wrong, of this year. And the pit bull's name was Gumdrop.
That's awesome.
He was adopted. He's a 3-year-old pit bull, and he was adopted in the city of Denver. Again, in the first time in 30 years, because in 1989, they made owning pit bulls illegal within the city of Denver. There was a vote to voters overwhelmingly passed legislation that replaces the outright ban with provisional breed restricted licenses to help monitor any incidents, is what it says. Uh-huh. So essentially, they took it from this breed is just banned to almost to the point where you have to have a license to own the breeds, is kind of what my understanding is. But it's still really cool that this dog was adopted. It's really cool that they're making ways so people can have these breeds. Because look, pit bulls can be some of the sweetest dogs there are, man. If you've ever been around a well-trained and a well taken care of pit bull, man, they just want to lick you and snuggle and care, and lay down, like, you know,
Well, yeah, the thing is it's just like anything. I mean, if you, for instance, kiddos, you have kids who are terrible children. If you look at their parents, the apple doesn't fall from far from the tree. It's the same premise when you look at dogs. If they have a bad owner, you can potentially have a very bad dog. If you have a good owner, you can have a very good dog. I mean, it's the thing is, it's all in their training. And it really warms my heart to see that Denver's at least taking a step forward to get rid of the breed legislation. Yes, they still have a little bit, but at least it's not an outright ban, because I know before this, it was almost a death sentence if a pit bull ended up in one of their shelters, that they would kill him instantly.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm super happy that that's not the case anymore. So saving humanity. Good job, Denver. Good job saving the puppies' faults. It's not their faults that they are what they are. So, I think we're going to start winding down. You've heard our conspiracies, our laughing at the Florida man, and just our arguments tonight. You got anything to say, Redneck or Husky Husker?
I am completely out of everything.
Not the current time.
What'd you say?
I was like, not at the current time.
Oh, okay. Well, as always, if you heard something that we said wrong, or you have something you want us to cover or talk about, or even you have a conspiracy you want to suggest to us, send us an email at redneckpastorpodcast@gmail.com. And I'll let you take the spiel from there, Redneck.
Yeah, definitely. And as always, if you go to anchor.fm and find us there, or any of the big podcasting apps, we're on all the big podcasting catchers. If you go to Anchor and find us on there, you can also find our Facebook, go and like and subscribe on whatever podcast you're on. And we will wrap it up for the end of the night, and wish you guys a good rest of the week. And we will see you next episode. This is signing off for the Redneck. Have a good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.